661-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news. You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have on this broadcast each and every day. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion. We look forward to your questions, comments, and generally we look forward to what you would have to say, how you respond to the issue each and every day. It's the goal of this broadcast for us to set the stage, ask the question, present the evidence, and get your response to it, with the ultimate desire to see our audience educated, encouraged, challenged, and insightful information provided so that we know what God's Word says and how we should live each and every day. We're excited each and every day as we bring this broadcast to you and look forward to your questions and comments. That telephone number, lest I forget it, is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about an issue today that I believe should be the subject on the hearts and the minds of each Christian, every conservative and patriot, asking the question, should Christians use pot? Now, I know I could use the word marijuana or THC. I'd rather use the term pot. Should Christians just go to pot? Should Christians in some way, some manner, just simply default to the woke culture and fall in line with what the culture is doing? Ladies and gentlemen, today among Christians, we're finding a wide variety of beliefs, not only about theological, doctrinal, biblical truths, but about moral, ethical beliefs and what is taking place in our world today. A good example is the habit of smoking. I'm going to pause for a moment. Drinking alcoholic beverages or participating in pot, marijuana today. I'm really saddened by the number of believers that have embraced the demonic lie that Christians can somehow, some way live for Jesus on Sunday, sing Christian songs and worship on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday live like the world, live like the world lives, participate in the woke worldly culture, including the use of marijuana. So just how do we view the use of drugs today? I believe that is important for us to understand. Now, there's some of you that's listening, and your argument is going to be, well, God created the marijuana plant, so therefore it must be all right. Listen, that won't wash with me. God created rattlesnakes, but we don't go out and pet them. God created a plant called nightshade that's ultimately deadly time you ingest it. God created poison ivy. We don't go out and rub it all over our face. So don't give me that argument that God created it, so therefore it must be all right. That won't wash. We're going to be talking about it today, and love to hear from you in relationship to your response. What are your thoughts? How do you feel a Christian should view marijuana? Should it be utilized in the heart and the life of a child of God? That's the question. And as we face the issues, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. When Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 8:31-32, he said, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further, in John 17:17, there's a declaratory statement made about the Word of God. Thy word is truth in John 17:17. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's a pretty lengthy period of time. How long is forever? It's forever. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I believe that's a statement right in line and fitting for today's issue that we're talking about. Let me say that again. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. If you get into a circle of those talking about marijuana, heroin, or cocaine, or any other of the drugs. By the way, lest I forget to remind you, the use of marijuana is the gateway to every other hard drug out there. Every other drug, the gateway, the open the door, the open of the window, is that of marijuana. And yet we find those who want to argue and somehow remonstrate against the truth in relationship to what we're talking about today. That's the reason I think it is so vital. And I think it's vital. The reason it's a current subject is simply because the pot industry, the marijuana industry, they already have almost 700,000 signatures on a petition, and the petition drive to get 815,000 signatures in order to put on the next year's ballot. The next election ballot will have a petition, an amendment proposal for the Constitution of the state of Florida that will make it a constitutional right to use marijuana in the state of Florida. I'm adamantly opposed to it. I'm frightened that it might pass unless we as Christians start now speaking about it and passing the information, encouraging, in fact, may I say, insisting that your pastor speak about it from the pulpit and not shy away from the subject. I believe it's time we recognize it. The truth is that we have so many today that will not look at truth as being absolute. I'm looking at a headline that says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Look at another headline. The former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Look at another headline. Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. It is a fact, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to understand that somehow, some way, truth matters regardless of what party you affiliated with, regardless of the denominational dogma that you embrace. Truth still matters. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Hus said this, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. So that's my challenge to you each and every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of the homeowner brands with like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, where is that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier on the campus of Tools for Time. It's a 165-foot flagpole. And atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory. And ladies and gentlemen, the Tools for a Time flag flying, as you look at the flag, see the flag at Tools for a Time, recognize that at the base of that flag and the flagpole is the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the professors at Conservative Theological University. I'm thankful for his knowledge and his wisdom, wisdom in the Word, knowledge of the Word. And we're going to be talking with him extensively today in relationship to that question, should Christians use pot? Should Christians participate in the use of marijuana that's now being so pushed so and so prevalent in our state and across the nation? There's some 30-some-odd states that have already legalized the use of recreational marijuana. And one article that I read, ladies and gentlemen, just so that you'll understand, one article I read said that if your state legalizes marijuana, it's legal and we're to abide by what the government says. So therefore, it's okay for a Christian to use marijuana. That was the perverted mindset of one writer on the subject. I believe we have Dr. Davis on the line. Dr. Davis, go over your question to comment, please.
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning. I hope you're well.
I am very blessed, and I'm certainly thankful for the subject on today. And by the way, I want to say happy birthday to you, and I would hope that each of the listeners today would call in and let's say happy birthday to a great man of God that we love. Amen. We just love you so much, Dr. Youngblood. You do so much for us, you know, by way of radio and even by way of ministering at the church and, you know, other things. I mean, if I tie up all the loose ends together, I mean, basically, you're just a man that wears many hats.
Well, I'm thankful for those comments. I'm humbled by it. And by the way, I stopped having birthdays, but my bride celebrates a special day that's called a birthday for me. So thank you for that compliment. Thank you. You know, after you get just under 100, you just stop counting.
Well, all you got to do is just keep on keeping on in the Lord.
Amen.
I'm sure the grace of God is going to be the one. You know, God's grace is going to preserve you and keep you. And he promised to give you everything, the desires of your heart, because I know that your desire is in his word and in his will. So certainly he's going to keep you and Dr. Phelps as well.
Amen.
So I just want to say thank God for you, for everything that you do for me and for all of us together. A great big happy birthday, and enjoy your day. And not only the day, but certainly the weekend and everything else connected with it. May you have everything you want.
Amen. Thank you so much. Dr. Phelps just recently had a birthday also, and I'm thankful that I can look at him and recognize that there is a potential for me for the future. So I'm thankful.
That's right. Well, let me tell you this. We have a young lady right here in Folkestone that just observed her 106th birthday.
Amen.
Mother Sally Chapman, and I hope she's a listener. She listens quite often, so I hope she's listening today. So I want to say a belated happy birthday to her, and that's encouragement for us, Dr. Youngblood, because she loves Geritol and she swears by it. I was about to say,
Dr. Davis, get me a list of her vitamins and minerals that she takes, and I'll put them on my list.
That's right. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But I want to say, in response to the subject today, I certainly hope that all pastors would stand up, you know, take a stand against this, because I see that, you know, John Morgan and many others are rallying to try to get this thing passed. And let me say, I mean, by way of coming up through my lifetime, I've seen a lot of lives destroyed by not only this drug, but like you say, one thing leads to the next. When we look at marijuana, it's going to lead to something harder than that. Even if we talk about the Bud Dumber and the certainly other things that they like to drink, these things are just harmful. It destroys human life. So certainly, you know, we don't want you to take it lightly. You need to know and understand the full effects. If it destroys your life, it's also destroying the lives that are connected to yours. So you have family, you have friends, you have church members, you have other people that's going to be affected simply because you are doing something, introducing something into your life that God didn't design for it to be there. So let's
Absolutely.
Make sure that we understand. Amen. God is totally, has a zero tolerance for sin. And that's the way that we should stand. We should
Absolutely.
Stand on the word of God today.
So what you're saying is, Dr. Davis, before I let you go, is that our lives should be a witness to others for good and not for evil. Others are watching our footsteps. Others are watching our lives. Others are watching that which we do and what we participate in and what we shun and say no on. And our lives ought to be lived in a circumspect fashion that others will see Jesus in us, as the song goes that's so often sung. So I'm thankful
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
Thankful for your compliments. Thank you for your words. And you have, I understand, by the way, if you don't mind me saying this, you're going to celebrate a grandson's graduation.
No, well, actually, this grandson, he's still a little child.
Okay.
So this was just the grandparents' day that they invited us out to today.
Wonderful.
And certainly, you know, while they're growing up, we want to be a part of their lives. You know, we're trying to train them up in the way that they should go. So certainly that's what I had the opportunity to do today. And not only that, others that I met along the way, I was encouraging them in the word of God. So I use that as a minister's opportunity as well.
Amen.
To get the word of God out there.
Get him to just get him to memorize John 3:16. That's a good starting point.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you so much for calling in, and God bless you. Hug your bride for us. and have a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood.
Thank you. God bless you. Dr. Phelps, as we think on this subject today, this issue, should Christians participate or use pot? Just off the cuff, if we think about that question, we need to ask the question, does it please the Lord? Will it please the Lord? What would you say in relationship to, we're going to talk the broader and then we're going to narrow it down to what marijuana does, what marijuana will cause a life to be like, and then we're going to go back to the question, should a Christian submit to that? So the big question is, the broader question at the outset of the broadcast today is, what are your thoughts in relationship to, whether it is Miller Low Life, Bud Dumber, any other alcoholic beverage, or any substance that will control the heart, the mind, what do you say in relationship to that being a part of a Christian's life?
I believe today that I have discovered the truth from the Bible, from God's Word, that my body is the temple of God.
Yes.
God's presence dwells in me. And I do not want to do anything that would defile the temple of God.
Mm-hmm. Well put.
I believe that the use of marijuana, like tobacco or other substances like that, and Bud Dumber, mm-hmm. or whiskey, wine, serve only to defile our body, defile the temple of God, and that does not please God. When we do such things, we grieve the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. whom God has sent to dwell in us until the day of redemption. So I do not want, I do not choose, I do not desire to do anything that would dishonor the Lord.
Amen. Well, Dr. Phelps, scripture comes to me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If a man is in Christ, he's a new creation, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So what we're talking about may have been the lifestyle of a lost person, may have been the habit of a lost person, but if a person is truly saved, has been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, as I like to use the term, should that remain in his life? Should that person continue with the old habits and the old lifestyle? Or should that be something that's totally new? What are your thoughts?
My thinking is that everything about the Christian and his lifestyle should be changed along with his inner person. Mm-hmm. We are transformed. We are made to become the children of God. When we believe on Christ, we become the part of the family of God. And it is my conviction, it is my understanding, that even our desires should become new. We should have new desires, and those desires should conform to the will of God in the Scriptures. Now, we are told in the Bible that God will fulfill the desires of them that fear Him, that and that those who call upon His name. A person who fears the Lord, that's a very special word in the Bible, has respect for the Lord. He has a reverence for the things of God, mm-hmm. and for the purpose of living his life in subjection to the will of God. And so we believe that that means a change in our appetites, mm-hmm. Change in the things that we do. We need to be careful about how we abuse or how we do harm to our body, mm-hmm. because it's the temple of God.
Absolutely.
So we want to please God because we are bought with a price. We belong to Him. We're said to be redeemed, and the price is the precious blood of Christ. Christ bought us. We're the temple of God. We belong to Him, and we should please Him. We should walk pleasingly before the Lord.
Absolutely. Dr. Phelps, I believe that our listeners would be well blessed, encouraged, or edified, whatever term you'd like to use, if they have a little better grasp on what we're talking about with, say, pot, marijuana, or as the little boy calls it, marijuana. I believe that people need to understand what it does. So as we, and I've got a sheaf of documents based on research, not research done by the drug industry, not research done by the pot distributors, not research that's done by those that manufacture the demonic control, uncontrollable material that goes into the body, but research done by independent medical analysts about what it does. And I'm just going to read a few of those things that marijuana does. And ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 831-0917. Marijuana not maybe, but will be absolutely addictive, controlling the thoughts, the actions, and the lifestyle. All research that's independent quality research about marijuana points out the fact that it is absolutely undeniably a controlling substance. It controls the mind, the thoughts, the actions, and the lifestyle of an individual. Marijuana impairs memory. It destroys brain cells that will never be replenished. Hear me. Destroys brain cells that will never be replenished. According to the medical research on it, it destroys brain cells, and those brain cells that can't reproduce, replenish, it means that the more a person uses the marijuana, the longer they participate in it, the fewer qualified brain cells to be operating in the physical body. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, multitudes today that lived a lifestyle and have lived a lifestyle in the past that's totally dependent on others to help them, support them, work for them, provide income, food, clothing, and shelter for them. This is the reason we have so many millions today that are living off the dole from the federal government because they cannot operate for themselves, by themselves, and support themselves. Multitudes, you can go back and find, it was because they were sold out and surrendered to a lifestyle of using marijuana. That ought not to be the lifestyle of a Christian. That ought not to be in the life of a Christian. Marijuana impairs the memory. Ladies and gentlemen, marijuana dramatically reduces the attention span, as one researcher said. Picture the kids today that are in school that because mom and dad has introduced them to it, or because they've gotten it off the streets, or because it's allowed to be in cities legalized by the governmental officials, that kids, the research that I found, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, 12 years old, that's already in the habit of using marijuana. So the question today, the issue today is, should Christians be involved in or participate in or to use marijuana, pot as I'm calling it today? Another researcher says marijuana hampers normal functions. This is the reason you find that the state of Colorado, where the total of all crimes have gone up 547%. I don't know if you understand that or not. Combined, all crimes have increased since 2014, 547% in the state of Colorado because of passing legislation to legalize marijuana. It hampers normal functions. Driving, for example, major collision crashes, killing family after family, destroying and injuring families as a result of someone driving that's impaired by marijuana. It causes deficits in verbal learning and memory. It causes difficulty in decision-making process, thus wrong choices and wrong decisions are made if a person is on marijuana. I'm going through a whole litany of research that is found about marijuana with the bottom line, the question is, if all of these things are caused by the use of marijuana, then should Christians participate? Should Christians be involved in the sale and or use of marijuana? I'm looking at an email that I received yesterday from an individual. It says, I just came from, and it named the county, tax collector's office. An older white guy smoking cigarettes at his table at the entrance of the office. He was there asking to sign petitions to get marijuana on the ballot. I tried to witness to him. I handed him a tract. Where will you spend eternity? I said, you need to stop thinking. Need to stop and think and repent. Change your ways as Jesus is coming soon. He said, I'm a Christian, and we all fall short of the glory of God. And marijuana is okay since it is a plant that God gave us. This writer that sent this email to me said, I prayed asking God to forgive him that he does not know what he's doing. Guess this guy must be a vegan also. So notice the statement from the individual. Marijuana is a plant that was given to us by God, so therefore it must be okay. As I said a moment ago, God created rattlesnakes, but we're not to pet them. God created a substance, a plant that's called nightshade. Research it. Nightshade. It's extremely poisonous, deadly, if you just partake in a small amount. God created poison ivy, but we don't go out here and pick it and rub it all over our bodies. So I could keep on going until the day is over with things that God created, but yet it's not for us to use because it's not good and not to be used in that fashion. Now, I know perhaps you're listening and you're saying, well, you know, with medical marijuana, I can take it if I've got a backache, a headache, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, medical marijuana is approved in the state of Florida, but even before it was approved with the so-called medical marijuana, which is a farce, a fake, it's the open gateway to allow a person to be able to get marijuana on a false pretense. Most of the marijuana pot shops, as I call them, you can go in, and there's a retired so-called physician that will ask you, what are you here for? Well, my back hurts, and he will fill out a prescription. He signs it, give him $100, and you get your prescription, go to the other end of the counter, and buy your pot. That's false, phony, and fake. It is a doorway to allow a person to use marijuana. So my question still boils down, Dr. Phelps, is should a Christian use marijuana? Should a Christian be involved? And if not, why not? What does the Scripture say? What are your thoughts?
We learn the truth about the body of believing Christians by reading Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. Mm-hmm. We are shown that some of the members had a problem with carnal behavior.
Yes.
In 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul wrote this. He said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Paul was trying to tell the Christians at Corinth to be mindful of others. Our lifestyle can affect the spiritual growth and conscience of those in our family or in our church or where we work or in the neighborhood. We either edify or hinder the spiritual maturity of people who know us. And in 1 Corinthians 6:12, Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul was talking about the principle of control.
Yes.
Some forms of indulgences are wrong when they bring you into bondage. That is addiction. Addiction. That's a good word. They may be wrong for your personal health, and they can be wrong for your spiritual health. In 2 Corinthians 3:2, Paul said to the Corinthians, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. What did he mean by that? The members of the Corinthian church were said to be living letters, testimonies of what the grace of God can do in the life of a believing Christian. We must realize that we may be the only Bible some people will ever read. Therefore, let us be careful that we walk in truth, that we be an example of the believer in lifestyle and personal character. A character quality of believing Christians is temperance or self-control. When we know the truth about our walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, we come to know that the Christian life is humanly impossible. God makes it possible for us by instructing us to walk, that is, to behave in the Spirit. And that's the instruction we read in the book of Galatians 5:16-25. Now let me say this. The spiritual man of 1 Corinthians 2 is not subject to any fleshly appetite or habit. He submits himself only to God.
Amen.
For we're bought with a price, the price of redemption.
Amen. That's true. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today. Should Christians be involved in the use of marijuana pot? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
In Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.